again, you mentioned the fashion show, which I think is very, very great. I think the fashion show should also have like key metrics and plans. So how many people are you targeting? Again, it has to tie into growth for your business. A huge number of people come. You're expecting them to buy your clothes. How many are you looking to sell? Hello, my name is Kewe Jeffia. I'm the investment and venture support lead at Impact Hub Lagos. Impact Hub Lagos is an innovation hub. We work with entrepreneurs, SMEs, and technology entrepreneurs to build and scale their businesses. And we offer a suite of services as well. I'm here with Adewale, who is a fashion entrepreneur based in Lagos, Nigeria. He is going to tell us about himself and also more about his business. So I'd love to hear from you, Adewale, on your business. What's the name of your business? What do you do? And how did it start? When did you start your business as well?
Yeah, nice to meet you, Kevin. So my name is Adewale Smart. I'm a serial entrepreneur and the creative director of Omoluabi Clothing. So basically, Omoluabi Clothing is a fashion brand that is in adding more beauty and fashion senses to people who are fashion oriented and fashion enthusiasts. So what we do is we basically craft designs for males, from clothing to shoemaking and bag making.
So how did it start? Like, when did you start this business? How did you come about the idea of starting a fashion business?
Okay, so growing up, I've always been a lover of fashion, more of a fashion enthusiast. So to start with, I started with photography, and after getting admission into the university, I tried to look at it like I want to do what I want to earn money with what I like doing most, and which is this fashion thing. So then I started with Smart Fit. It is basically a casual streetwear outfit for students. Then I can basically say I was more of the high fashion of my school days then. So on campus, if you are not on Smart Fit, you might not necessarily be considered as big boy on campus. So then after school, I thought of reaching out to bigger men, not boys this time around. And I feel like the Smart Fit, the casual, the streetwear might not actually sell what I want to do. So instead, I had to look at a better name that will sell what I want to do. Then I settled for Omoluabi Clothing. So the idea of Omoluabi came from the fact that, you know, in Yoruba, or there's an adage that says, dress the way you want to be addressed. So Yoruba, the Omoluabi words in Yoruba is basically, how do I put it? Omoluabi in Yoruba is someone that is a very good looking and all of that. So that idea of Omoluabi came from that.
So that's actually very interesting, because I really like the fact that you started very young as an entrepreneur, started Smart Fit. I would have just thought maybe you would have sort of merged both businesses, like there's the Omoluabi that provides luxury clothing to high-class men, and then there's the Smart Fit that provides, you know, hippie clothing to young people. What do you think about, like, what would you think as an entrepreneur about, you know, working with those two markets, those two different markets?
So the thing is, I don't want to bore my audience, and I don't want to, you know, confuse them. So Omoluabi Clothing actually covers everything, from kaftan to suit to casuals to streetwear. We cover all.
Okay.
So it is not really to the old age or to the men and the boys together. So we satisfy their needs.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So you're tapping into both markets and getting money from that.
Yeah,
I think that's nice. Interesting. I actually had a business when I was in school too. So we're both started as student entrepreneurs, even though now you still are an entrepreneur, and I now work with entrepreneurs. I think my next question will be, what's your next growth plan for Omoluabi Clothing? What are you looking to achieve in the next 1 year and then even further down the line?
So basically, I do not usually have 1 year plan, 5 years plan. Every day I wake up, it's always a new plan, a new target. But then one of my major things is the fact that my brand is fast growing on the mainland, so to say, Korodu precisely. Very soon I am hosting one of the biggest fashion show in Korodu, so to say, and with the League 2 plan we have on ground, it's going to be massive. So this fashion show is going to give rooms to fashion designers, every entrepreneurs that are into fashion. So what I mean by fashion is tailors, makeup artists, bag makers, shoemakers, in as much as whatever thing you are doing is into fashion, we are giving you a platform to come showcase whatever thing you can do, the creativity, and also have a platform to sell your market. So it's going to be a runway and as well as a trade fair together.
I really like the idea and the concept of that, but I think because this session that we're having is also an interview / business consultation, like hear about your business needs, provide solutions and give advice, I'm very curious as to the fact that you mentioned you don't necessarily have long-term plans or even short-term plans. I think that tends to work in like personal, that can fly, because not even terms to work, maybe that can fly in personal goal setting, but I tend to find that in like people who run businesses, you need to have goals, not just merely for you, because again, you would have staff, you would have new members of your team, there needs to be goals, there are KPIs that they should meet. Hey, you need to market to so and so number of people, you need to bring in this number of clients. So I think it's fine as a solo entrepreneur, which is as a solo if you're running solo entrepreneurship or sole proprietorship like they call it, but I think that even if you are a sole proprietor, you need to have a solid plan for your business. Again, you mentioned the fashion show, which I think is very, very great. I think the fashion show should also have like key metrics and plans. So how many people are you targeting? Again, it has to tie into growth for your business. A huge number of people come, you're expecting them to buy your clothes. How many are you looking to sell? Like what are the key growth or key goals that you're looking for, looking forward to the fashion show, doing for your business?
Okay, number one is I want to put Ikorodu basically on the map to actually make a statement that Ikorodu is not a fashion backward community. And secondly, directly to my brand, I am also looking at a way to, make the brand known to the big names, big personalities in Ikorodu. So it's a way of giving back to the community. And on that note, we have a plan to also enroll 20 youths to the academy. So I have a fashion academy under the brand where we have sections. So usually every section we only enroll 20 students. So from that event, any youth who is interested in learning would be enrolled in my fashion academy free of charge. So for that section is only basically for people from that program. So then talking about a bigger plan aside that, yeah, of course we want to expand. Currently I started with 2 staffs and right now I have like 15 stylists. I feel like in a year time or by the end of this year after the event, I want to go to a bigger space. As a matter of fact, by God's grace, I want to have my own personal building, just like our own big mentor just did. Shout out to Sheyvo. He just had his own big complex. So these are future plans. Yeah. So those are the results I'm actually looking from the event.
Okay. No, I think those are strategic sort of results that definitely can happen. I think maybe the only thing I would advise, and then we close the chapter, is you mentioned giving back to the society, so training those people. So I love when I say entrepreneurs that give back to society. I think they call them social entrepreneurs. So you're making profit and then you're also doing good in society. But then you also need to think very business-like. I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs fall into that category where you want to do good. And then you're doing more good and you're making an impact in society, but then it's harming you in terms of like revenue or profit. So I think hearing you, I know that you love to give back, but then you also should be very dogged on, securing revenue and money. And if you don't mind, what's the name of the fashion show you're planning in Ikorodu? Does it have a name yet?
Yeah, the tag is Ikorodu Fashion Show 1.0.
Okay. So to everyone watching, please, you're invited to Ikorodu Fashion Show 1.0. We'll be there. Okay, I think my next question would be, what's your biggest challenge? What has been your biggest challenge as an entrepreneur? What are the biggest challenges you face?
Okay, so basically starting with My biggest challenge is the fact that my target audience, once in a while, some of them have this notion and idea that my community determines the quality of production I make. So it is, sometimes it takes extra to actually convince that person you have in mind to make your clients. For instance, we all believe that the big men are on the island. And when we try to reach out to them, they kind of ask you for your locations, and immediately you tell them where your store is at. It's more of a big challenge to me, which is one of the things I'm trying to, you know, correct. And aside that, there is a general problem to every entrepreneur, which is the electricity thing. So it is one big challenge to me as well. But then we are trying all possible ways to make that a minor challenge. But all in all, clients who judge your quality, the quality of your production by your immediate community, any client that has that kind of idea are my kind of challenge.
So I hear you on the electricity part, but I missed the first thing you said. So can you just go back?
So it is clients who have the idea that tailors or fashion designers from this part of Lagos,
Ikorodu,
cannot do what they want, cannot give them that quality outfit in terms of fabrics, quality to design, top-notch designs. So it's a kind of a challenging idea that I get from. So I'm doing my own possible ways to correct that, and it's currently working.
So that makes a lot of sense. So it's a mindset issue with like those in like, you know, certain classes where they feel if you're situated in this location, you can't deliver up to par with those on the island or whatever. I think that's very valid, and it's something that it's a, you know, bias that we don't love, you know, customers don't even know that they have. They would rather purchase high priced items thinking that because it's highly priced, it's more quality than purchasing, you know, with people who are up and coming. I think I would go back to the second point and then come back to the first point in terms of like possible solutions. So for electricity, I think huge challenge to everybody in Nigeria, both entrepreneurs, both those who are not entrepreneurs. And I think it, you know, makes the prices of goods go up in terms of those maybe who use electricity for, you know, storing items. I think you get tailors use it for like sewing. There's electric sewing machine and stuff. So I think maybe it's worth investing in solar, right? Because again, renewable energy source, you're able to use sun. But I know the major thing in investing in solar is finances. So again, it's now even the second one is a finance issue. I think the first one, again, we'll talk about and maybe it's possible ways, but I think the second one is actually a finance issue. So it's much more you now looking at accessing grants that can, you know, provide you with necessary equipment. You mentioned you also want to have a space. I think a lot of entrepreneurs try to do things alone. So again, you want to have a space, you want to set all these things, you're already calculating the math, or you want to take a loan, you want to do, which is great. I like to see people have what they call skin in the game. You have a business, you push hard to do it, succeed, see it succeed. But there are a lot of resources out there that, or a lot of resources or opportunities or initiatives that want to support entrepreneurs like you, SMEs, that have grant funding to provide to entrepreneurs. And you just have to have a business plan. So that's why it's important to have goals, like I mentioned, because they also want to see what are your goals. This money I give you, what are you going to use this for? There are lots, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention, but there are a lot of, you know, entrepreneurship training programs that they provide funding. They provide technical assistance, meaning that they would even train you to know, you know, what is wrong in your business, how to implement this, provide you with a mentor, and so many other things. So I think my advice would be, don't do it alone. After this, just actually try to search ChatGPT grant opportunities for entrepreneurs in Nigeria. A lot of pop-up. You would get to this stage, because I did a lot of it when I was an entrepreneur. You get to the point where you're getting a lot of rejections, back to back. As you apply, you begin to have expertise in grant writing and proposal writing. And then with that, you can actually unlock finance to not just provide, you know, finance for your solar system, but even beyond, in terms of like providing with more machineries, providing with, you know, access to finance to pay for your land. And I know you seem like you have a question.
Yeah, the thing is, I've tried several grants, applied, Yeah, definitely we've tried the Rolex, mm-hmm. but then we've not really got that
anyone
still feedback. Mm-hmm. But then at some point I was kind of tired, you know. Mm-hmm. I just thought, let me just keep doing this thing to my into profit. So with what you said, I think you've actually buzzed the bubble and I'll try
again. Yeah. No, you should definitely try again and even seek help. So a lot of these grant opportunities, they have like webinars where they tell you how to apply. Because I think the thing with grant applications, there's, you know, general application and then there's a way to apply. So people just apply, but maybe what your the feedback or the information you're providing is not what they need. So sometimes I realize that it's fine for you to utilize an expert to actually help you and guide you in writing your grant. Because as an entrepreneur, you're doing multiple things. You're working with your staff, trying to ensure timely delivery, and you're now trying to learn a new skill of, it's actually a skill on its own. So it may need to come to the point where you actually, you know, work with an expert to help you, even maybe hire a team member that is focused on that and that is paid on the success of that. So it doesn't necessarily need to be a you thing. Also, to your point on raising, you know, grants, I mentioned working with an expert, but I think also something that's important to mention is, you know, types of grants that's available to entrepreneurs. So we have the ACT Foundation, who, again, they're one of the pioneers of even this show that we have. And they're providing grant, they provide grant fundings to entrepreneurs, social entrepreneurship, social entrepreneurship initiatives, but then even primarily to SMEs like you. So it's really a simple, I think a lot of times with grant application, you just have to have your eye, you know, on those different pages. And that's why I said sometimes you may need to work with an expert because you have so many things you're doing. So there's a lot, there's ACT Foundation, there's Kickstarts, entrepreneurship grant, which I got a very long time ago when I was a student entrepreneur, so I know it's, you know, legit. Tony Elumelu Foundation, which everybody, you know, tries to get a share of that. Even Impact Hub Lagos, we have a couple of grants as well. So there's a lot. Even banks that provide debt funding partner with organizations to give out grants, or sometimes give out grants as, you know, maybe CSR or their way of doing good in the environment.
I'll try and check some of them.
I hope you do, and I hope you, reason for you that eventually get one or two, a lot after now. I think I'll just like to, you know more about your numbers in terms of revenue. So how much do you make per month? I think you obviously need to have an eye on how much you make per month, how much you make annually, how much are you looking to make. So I think my goal here is to just see where you are at in terms of revenue, where you want to be, and then maybe prefer some solutions of how we can get there.
Okay, so in terms of how much I make in a month, is it in profit or the total income?
Yeah, I think revenue is total income. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, let's say, 7 figures mm-hmm. in a month. Yeah.
Okay. So I must be very low key about money. This is an open space. Okay, so what's your margin? So you don't need to call numbers. So if, you know, you revenue is obviously profit and all of that things combined. So how much comes to you as profit from revenue? And again, I don't necessarily need the accurate numbers because again, you may not want to provide that, but maybe 70% goes into like costs or direct costs for the business, and then 30% is revenue. Is it 60-40? What's the percentage?
Okay, so it is a 40-40-20. Mm-hmm. Ratio thing. So 40 is basically to the business, 40 for the running of the company, day to day, month to month, and 20 is the savings. So part of the 40 for the day to day and monthly business, the staff salaries, the allowance, the rents, and all of that.
Mm-hmm. So 40 direct cost, 40, the other 40 is your profits, yeah, and then 40 20
is like getting more fabrics,
okay,
adverts and all of that, promotion and the likes. Then 40 is staff salaries, staff's referrism, office referrism and the likes. Then 20 is savings.
So where's your profit in that margin?
Everything is my profit. The 100 is profit. So out of the profit, that is where I pay salaries.
Mm-hmm.
That is where I am.
Yeah. So I think what you need to do is actually have an accurate, you know, split of that in terms of your margins, because again 100% can't be your margin, because even with the kind of business you do, you have to buy clothes, there's money spent in that. So I was thinking when you said 40 40 20, you meant 40% is direct cost, which is staff salaries, you know, everything you need to run your business. I thought the other 40 was profit, and then I thought 20 was. I was even excited to hear about savings because I don't hear it a lot from entrepreneurs.
Okay, so what I mean is, okay, after at the end of the month, anything we were able to realize, everything is not profit, but we are going to say it's profit at initial stage because by that time we've already delivered those outfits. Now, part of the outfits or all of the outfits we actually delivered, we had to find a way to get them back. So we have taken some part of the money to buy more fabrics, more materials. I'm going to pay the staffs. I'm going to sort petrol, sort electricity and the likes. So anything whatsoever that remains, it's our savings.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? So that is what I mean by 40-40-20.
That makes sense. I think I would just like you to sort of adopt a new strategy for, like, maybe operate more like a larger enterprise. I know this is how a lot of smallholder businesses run. So actually adopting like a large enterprise, you know, mindset. So in terms of that 100, in terms of someone gives you 80,000, you need to split it, or per month, you need to know how much it's going to cost, because then that helps you see if your business is actually running at a loss of profit. Because if you're running a business and so much is going into, and then the way you're running it, where you're just recycling and saving and recycling, you actually are not able to adequately track it. So you need to be able to track how much is going into expenses. How much am I getting? It's from the your profit that you're actually supposed to pay your staff. You're supposed to pay your staff from, you know, your direct costs. That means you are now running at a loss. But sometimes, a lot of times, it's not obvious. It's when your business goes to a certain scale that, you know, it begins to look as if your money is leaking from somewhere. But because you don't really have those finances in check, so you need to understand your direct costs per month and then even per year. Understand how much profit you are making out of everything. And then I like the savings bit, so I think you should keep it. So cost, direct cost, and profits, and then I would say maybe say 5%. 20% is actually too large to save. But I think the reason you're able to do this is because you're actually not carving out your profit. So again, like I said, it's from your profit you should pay your. It's your profit that is your actual money. So profit you're supposed to pay yourself, not the other money for buying clothes. It's just like money being recycled and, you know, stuff like that. Okay. I don't know, do you have any other maybe last pending questions? Okay. So it was really nice speaking to you, Adewale. Also great hearing about your business. I wish you the best in your journey, and I hope this session was impactful and helpful to you.
Thanks for having me.
I also hope that in the next 3 months when we do check up on your business, that would have, you know, good things to see about it, and then a lot of these things that we've talked about have put it in place, and hopefully you'd have won that grant.
By God's grace.